It's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining the program today is Seth Tupper, reporter with the Rapid City Journal. And Seth, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us on the line is David Montgomery, political reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. And David, thanks for joining us as well.
Glad to be on.
Well, let's begin with the EB-5 program. Last week, a deposition by former EB-5 chief Yope Bolin was released to journalist Bob Mercer and made public. It was part of a lawsuit against South Dakota's EB-5 program that an arbitrator dismissed a couple of weeks ago. Looking over that deposition, Seth, did Bolin's statements shed any light, anything new with the EB-5 program?
Well, I should preface this by saying that the deposition is hundreds of pages long, so
didn't read every page.
It could be that maybe there's more to come out of it yet. I think even if you were to sit and read it, it's something that needs to sit and stew for a long time before you can bring every single possible thing out of it. But generally, no, I don't think there was a lot of real startling new information. The Democratic Party would probably disagree with me there, but I mean, before the deposition came out, we knew that Yope Bolin had apparently been doing some things that weren't exactly kosher, and that he wasn't overseen a lot, maybe as much as he should have been, by some state officials. We knew that Governor Rounds had said that he wasn't entirely aware of everything that was happening, and there wasn't a whole lot to change that narrative in the deposition. That's not to say it's not valuable to have it out there, or that there wasn't some interesting things in there, but I don't know that it really altered the course of the EB-5 story a whole lot.
Dave Montgomery, what was your takeaway from that deposition?
Again, no real smoking guns, nothing explosive. To me, the most striking aspect of it was a number of comments from Yope Bolin, who was running the state's EB-5 program, first as a state employee and then later as a private contractor. The statements from him that indicated a real lack of supervision from either the Board of Regents or from the Governor's Office of Economic Development. He talked about budgets that were filled out and signed but were only really advisory, that you get budgeted for a trip to Belgium but would go to China instead. Things like that, talking about higher-ups just not having any interest in the details of what he was doing, which, given that the program later found itself in controversy, is, I think, telling.
For you, Seth, questions that still remain, questions that you would really like to see answered regarding the management of the EB-5 program in South Dakota?
Well, yeah, there's two, really. I mean, the question that's really dominated the Senate race is what did Mike Rounds know and when did he know it? And, of course, he's talked about that a lot and said that he didn't know much and that, that he said that Yope Bolin was a Board of Regents employee and that he doesn't recall much of anything or wasn't all that involved with Yope Bolin's doings. As journalists, of course, we're trained to be skeptical about that. So, the coverage on those questions continues, and I think will and should continue. But the other question for me is and I think a lot of people is, Yope Bolin, why wasn't he dealt with more severely? A lot of the things that he's alleged to have done, which is, including signing over a state contract to his own company, not telling state officials about some litigation that arose over his handling of the EB-5 program, at least not telling them initially, trying to act as his own lawyer, things like that. He was doing in the period of 08, 09, and yet the state didn't really cut ties with him until last year. And to me, that's a big ongoing question is, why wasn't he dealt with more harshly? Why didn't the state cut ties with him sooner? And is he going to face any consequences for any of the things that he's supposedly done that a lot of people say weren't appropriate?
David Montgomery, I think it was yesterday that Mike Rounds spoke with the Argus Leader and raised some questions about another aspect of the EB-5 program. That was Richard Benda, who was the Commerce Secretary at the time, and wondering about when, at the end of the Rounds administration, if what was known about his future plans about going with the Northern Beef Packers plant. Maybe you can clear some of that up. That right there.
Yeah, and wasn't it something we've already known? Is that the very waning days of the Rounds administration, in the final weeks, Richard Benda, who's the Secretary of Tourism and State Development and a big booster of the EB-5 program, approved a $600,000 loan increase for the Northern Beef Packers plant, without disclosing, apparently, that he was going to work for the company making EB-5 loans to the Northern Beef Packers plant, in which a later state audit found was a conflict of interest that should have been prevented by policies and or laws. And what Round said yesterday that was interesting was he said that at some point in the final weeks of his term, Benda told Rounds' staff that he was going to work for, quote, an investor in the beef plant. The timeline is uncertain. We don't know exactly when Rounds found out, whether it's before or after Benda authorized these loan increases. But it raises questions about whether Rounds should have been alarmed by the conflict of interest there, if he knew that there was money being approved for the plant while Benda was going to work in connection to the plant. The Rounds people didn't comment to me last night, but generally tried to downplay the significance. They pointed out that in South Dakota there's no such law against conflict of interest, and they argued that it's sort of unavoidable in a small state like South Dakota.
Mike Rounds also spoke with Dakota Midday last week, and he said the EB-5 program helped bring economic development to the state, cited several examples, dairies, the Deadwood Casino. I think that's some of the same things he's been saying over the past several weeks. With all the negativity surrounding the EB-5 program, Seth Tupper, is that really the best tactic? Is that a good tactic for Rounds to take in his race for Senate?
Well, I think it's awfully dangerous for him, because if he's going to talk about EB-5, and there's no doubt that there were some investments through EB-5 that produced good results for economic development projects, there's no doubt about that. But if he's going to go out and talk about that a lot, it tends to tie him to the program, make him look as though he was aware of it, he was backing it, he was supporting it. And then he's going to turn around and say, but when it came to Northern Beef Packers, I don't recall much. I wasn't very much involved with Yoak Bolin's doings with that, et cetera. So, it's kind of a conflicting storyline there. So, I mean, I think it's obviously dangerous turf for him to venture onto to talk about that, because, you can't really have it both ways. I mean, either you knew what was going on with the program or you didn't. And the more you talk about other projects, the more it seems to indicate he did know what was going on with it. So I think it's a there's no doubt it's a tough issue for him to handle.
David Montgomery, is it a tricky tightrope walk that he has there?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly as Seth said. I mean, it's very hard. I mean, you can argue that he can walk the tightrope, but it's very tricky to say. On the one hand, this is a great program for the state. To take credit for all the benefits, but none of the problems with the program. I think it's a tough sell as a message.
This past weekend, the Rounds campaign published a full-page advertisement in the Rapid City Journal claiming that Democratic opponent Rick Weiland is endorsed by a radical anti-bomber group, and if Weiland is elected, they'll be after Ellsworth again. Democrats cried foul. Seth, what is the issue here?
Well, when I saw the ad on Sunday, like everybody else, and it mentioned the group Council for a Livable World, and it said that the council had endorsed Rick Weiland, and that both Rick Weiland and the council had a goal of wiping out the B-1B bomber program, which is B-1Bs are the aircraft that's at Ellsworth. And so I'd never heard of the Council for a Livable World prior to that, so it was a no-brainer for us Monday morning to check on that. What is this agency? Has it actually endorsed Weiland? Do they really want to wipe out the B-1B program? What we found is the council has, in fact, endorsed Rick Weiland, and really it's kind of an anti-nuclear weapon group that does advocacy on that position and tries to get people elected to agree with them. B-1Bs formerly were outfitted to carry nuclear weapons and no longer are. And so what the Council for a Livable World said is when B-1Bs dropped their nuclear weapon capability, they were no longer opposed to B-1B bombers. And so they say that the Council for a Livable World and the Wyland campaign says that what the Rounds campaign is saying about them isn't true, that they're fine with Elsbeth, they're fine with B-1Bs, and they actually want to maintain them. Council for a Livable World said that they view some of the alternatives to the B-1s to be less bang for the buck, as they put it, and so actually they think the B-1 is a good program compared to other things that are out there. The Rounds campaign stuck to its guns and said that you know, it's a liberal group and it's working. What it does weakens defense, and therefore them being aligned with Wyland is, if he got elected, would be bad for South Dakota and bad for Ellsworth. That's the opposing claims.
How often is Ellsworth made a political issue? Address that to both David and Seth. David, you reported out in Rapid City as well for a while.
Hey, this also became an issue in the waning days of the last really fiercely contested race South Dakota had, the 2010 House race between Kristi Noem and Stephanie Herseth-Sandlin, where both sides were going back and forth about which one was the true defender of Ellsworth and which one would pose a risk. Both sides were making charges back and forth, bringing out surrogates to back them up. So it's an issue. There have been some polls that have suggested that Mike Rounds is doing worse in West River than he is in East River, which, given that West River is usually a Republican stronghold, would be something he'd need to correct if he wants to win. So, politically, if there's anything to those polls, which the Rounds campaign has cast doubt on, if there's anything to them that would make sense that Rounds is trying to use a hyper-local issue such as the Air Force Base to try to win more support in the Rapid City area.
Well, the four U.S. Senate candidates, Rounds, Wyland, and Independents Larry Pressler and Gordon Howey, are meeting in a debate, the latest by the South Dakota Public Broadcasting, that happens tomorrow evening. For you, Seth Tupper, do you expect anything different from the previous, from what we've seen in the previous Senate debates?
Well, I do, and I'm really looking forward to this debate. Just everything has heated up so much. There was a forum in Sioux Falls, and David could talk about that more, but it seemed to me that was a very limited format, and there wasn't really a chance for rebuttal. There wasn't much interplay. I don't know if that was actually the case. From afar, that's what it seemed like. Whereas the debate on public broadcasting, I have to assume, is going to be the same as the previous debates with the House and the governor candidates, and then there'll be a chance for rebuttal, so it'll be a true debate. And, you know, it's been within the last couple of weeks that this Senate race has really heated up, drawn a lot of attention nationally, started drawing a lot of independent expenditures from outside groups, buying ads. So it's kind of a pot boiling that's about to erupt, and it really leads well into this debate. And I think I'm looking to see a really great debate amongst three of the four candidates that polls say are really in there with a chance to win. And so they're going to be, I think, very feisty and ready to mix it up. So I think it should be a great debate.
David Montgomery, do you expect a heated debate tomorrow?
I think so. This is going to be just two televised debates remaining. It's two final chances for candidates to appear on an even footing rather than in the back and forth. In the first two debates in August, it was sort of 3-on-1, everybody piling on Mike Rounds. We'll see if that dynamic continues or if Gordon Howey and Larry Pressler, the two independents, take some shots at Democrat Rick Wyland or each other. If everybody's beating up on Rounds, I don't think that's not a good situation for Rounds to be in. It makes him look like there's this alliance against him, and I think voters will tend to sympathize more if they have everyone from a conservative Gordon Howey to the more liberal Rick Wyland and Larry Pressler in between, all criticizing Rounds. If it's more of a back and forth, more muddled debate, not a clear storyline, I think that's a win for Rounds. The fundamentals in South Dakota favor him. And any time he gets out of a debate without making news, that's good. On the other hand, if Rounds could score a debate win, that could go a huge way to stabilizing his campaign and maybe even locking this race away for him.
Well, before we end this edition of the Dakota Political Junkies, just I'd like to touch a little bit on last week's SDPB House debate. Incumbent Republican Congresswoman Kristi Noem faced Democratic challenger Karina Robinson and Seth Tupper. Was Robinson able to make much of an impact in that debate?
That I don't know. I did not watch that debate because we had a debate here 2 days earlier.
Oh, sorry about that, Seth.
Next one. But I know in our debate here in Rapid City, no, I don't think Robinson was able to make much headway. And, you know, she just hasn't had a visible campaign. I mean, you know, as somebody, you know, obviously I pay pretty close attention. It was part of my job. And you don't see advertisements. You don't see yard signs. You don't hear from her. She doesn't seem to stop, you know, and have much connection with us in the media. She just hasn't gotten any traction. I don't think the debates helped her, and especially with the Senate race sucking up all the attention. It's kind of a forgotten race.
But David, did you have a chance to see the debate last week?
I did not watch it, but my colleague Jonathan Ellis did, and he, I think, had many of the same conclusions that Seth did, including a very striking aspect that Karina Robinson repeatedly passed on opportunities to take rebuttals against what Kristi Noem said, which is just it's debating 101. And anytime you have a chance to talk, to refute your opponent's point, you take it. And for a severe underdog like Robinson, I mean, it's not going to make a difference. All the polls, so she's going to lose handily. But it just has not been a well-run campaign.
Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. David, thanks so much for joining the program again.
Not a problem.
And Seth, thanks for your time as well.
You're welcome.